Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM. Talkspace.com/boom. B-O-O-M.
Like my soul that's covered in gold. Hey yo, who got snaps on the Petro? Keep it real, don't front, yo.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily podcast on the Brooklyn Nets. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello everybody and welcome to the Locked On Nets podcast. If you're joining us today, then you know of the giant, tight battle that all of America was watching last night. I mean, it was tight all the way till the end. Just two powerhouses going back and forth. I'm talking Nets Timberwolves, of course. I don't know what else was going on, but the Nets pulled it out. They're now at 3-4 on the season. A lot of people didn't expect that. But before we get into the game, I do want to apologize for the lack of Locked On Nets episodes. This is supposed to be part of the Locked On Network, which is sort of a daily thing, which is sort of our shtick. But I haven't been able to do that because I'm actually leaving the podcast due to some real-life circumstances that makes it impossible for me to bring this to you every day. Now, until a new host gets here, I'm going to try and pick up on the episodes, but it's been tough with the new circumstances, so apologies again, but stick with the podcast. It's definitely going to turn around, and it starts with today. I have Mike Scotto on from Basketball Insiders. He also contributes to AP, and we talked a little bit about just how the Nets got here and how they're really keeping competitive and just how impressive they are, and a little bit about the game as well. Got some audio from Brook Lopez in the locker room, so let's get to it.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Joining me now on the Locked On Nets podcast, we have Mike Scotto of Basketball Insiders. Thank you for coming on, man.
My pleasure, David. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I know you want to get home from this Nets game, but we got to talk. This is a real team here.
Yeah, when you look at Brooklyn, I think, ironically, they've embodied the hashtag Brooklyn Grit. This team, this team is...
You plugging for them?
It's just ironic because, you know, when you looked at this team in the beginning of the year before the season started, you said to yourself, they didn't have a lot of room for error with the makeup of the roster, and they had to be scrappy. And I think that Kenny Atkinson has brought... that toughness and that grit to them that they've needed. And, you know, watching him on the sidelines just jump up and down, run around, and he's almost playing defense as like the sixth man in a sense on the sideline. And certainly going out to half court. And, you know, I think that I think if you look at where Brooklyn is right now relative to expectations coming into the season, they've certainly surprised people. And I think people have taken notice around the league that it's not just going to be an easy win against Brooklyn.
Yeah, this team is sort of flipping the whole thing on judging a team on paper, because like you mentioned, Brooklyn Grit, they really are gritty, and then they're just winning games by trying harder. Then they like going out and playing hard every night, and just playing good basketball. You know, they pass the ball around, they play pretty good defense. You know, sort of as far as structure wise, the talent isn't really there, but just beat Minnesota, they beat Detroit, they beat Indiana, they had a tight game against Charlotte the other day. How much have they sort of flipped where you think they'll end up this season? Right now, I'm starting to think they're etching towards maybe like the high 20s, low 30s in wins, maybe.
That's certainly a possibility. I think coming into the season, it appeared that a lot of you know, experts and projections that you would see from various publications had them maybe towards the high teens or the low 20s, but.
Right.
I'll say this. I think if Kenny Atkinson approaches anywhere near the 500 mark and even 35 wins with this team, that he should get some type of Coach of the Year consideration. I'm not saying necessarily to win the award, but I think he would deserve a lot of credit if they continued on this type of a pace. Biggest thing that I think has been interesting, you know, the Indiana game that you mentioned, I looked at Indiana coming into the season as a top four seed. I really did. Yeah. I know Miles Turner has said that he believes that they are a top four seed, and I agreed with him. And I thought that was a statement game, that this team is maybe more than meets the eye to some people. And there's only been one game this year where they really haven't been in it and competitive. And I think when you're in a rebuilding situation, that's what you're looking for. And I think that the culture has changed significantly. You know, before games, you rarely see players in the locker room necessarily available to talk.
Yeah.
Now, granted, they do shoot around beforehand in the morning, but they're clearly focused on the task at hand. You see every player early working with the coaches, and I just think that there's been a shift in mentality with this team comparative to last season, and it's helped them really kind of get the ball rolling here thus far early in the season.
I think that the hero of the game, Bojan Bogdanović, who hit the, it was like good like 29-footer or something, top of the key, to sort of seal the deal. He was out on the floor before the game, sort of just watching film out there, and I know he had the laptop out in his locker before the game, you know, ready with the film. I mean, all these guys are really committed to their team, but let's talk about this game real fast. It was sort of back and forth, a really high offense affair. Minnesota, man, I don't think I've ever seen a Thibs team defend this poorly, but the Nets did a good job of attacking them in their weak spots. I mean, I saw some weird things. I saw Joe Harris getting to the basket a few times. Brook Lopez is apparently an amazing three-point shooter. Mm-hmm. Are you on the Brook Lopez to the three-point contest train yet?
I don't know about the three-point contest, but I'll tell
you. Get the big guys in there. We had them for the big men for the, what was it, the skills competition. We should get them into the three-point contest, too.
You know what? If he keeps shooting it the way he has so far, it's a possibility. I would not be shocked if Joe Harris is in the three-point competition. Yeah. I think he's really been able to be a great catch-and-shoot three-point shooter for this team. And, you know, just looking at you know, when you mentioned about Tibbs and the defense, you know, Karl Towns after the game said it best. It shouldn't be an excuse that because the team is young that they're not executing. They still have a job to do, and I think that eventually they will turn it around. I think Tibbs is too good of a coach, and this team is too talented, even though they are young, to not figure it out. Karl Towns, I think, has the potential one day to be a defensive player of the year in this league. And Andrew Wiggins has shown the ability to be a good on-the-ball defender. Chris Dunn coming out of Providence and talking with a bunch of scouts and GMs, the number one thing that stuck out to them in terms of his play was he could play defense in the NBA right out of the gate.
Yep.
And when you have three guys immediately that can play defense right off the top of your head, it's a little bit head-scratching why they're at, you know, tonight we saw this game go well over 100. And I do think Tibbs is going to crack down on that. It's going to take a little bit of time to learn the system. I wouldn't count out Minnesota just yet. I know a lot of people are doubting them, and maybe because they were the flavor of the month pick to
right.
crack that playoff spot for the Western Conference. But I still believe in this young team. Just need a little bit more time. And you know what? Just going back to Brook Lopez, you mentioned about him with the three-pointers. Last season, I would always see him warm up beyond the arc in every
right.
spot, not just the corners, and he would hit them.
Yeah.
And I think the difference now is Kenny Atkinson is saying, let it fly, big boy.
He is letting it fly. You're talking about young guys. Isaiah Whitehead getting a start with Jeremy Lin still out, Vasquez still out. Foy made his return, but you know he sort of came off the bench. And it was Whitehead's man in the point, and you've heard it from me on Press Row. I love the kid. I think I said it back in preseason. I think he's a real NBA player in the making. And I think tonight we sort of saw why. He didn't take a whole lot of shots, and his shot wasn't deadly or anything like it. You know, wasn't a big-time scorer like it was at Seton Hall, but he knows how to play the point guard spot. He can command an offense, get guys into their spots, not force things, and he tries hard on the defensive end. I mean, do you agree with me? Do you like the way he's sort of getting out there and just looking like an NBA point guard already?
I think when it comes to Isaiah Whitehead, the thing that sticks out to me in every game is he fills the stat sheet, and he can get rebounds and assists. And I think that with Isaiah, the other thing that sticks out to me that maybe you don't see a lot of in the headlines is he does take charges. We saw that tonight when he got stepped on to take a charge. This is a tough kid. And I think that with Isaiah as a point guard, this is a little bit of an evolution in his game. As far as I knew, Isaiah, dating back to high school and early in Seton Hall, he had the ball in his hands, but he was more of a scorer.
Right.
I thought of him more as a two. Now shifting to the one, I think he reminds me a little bit of Tyreke Evans in the sense that he can get to the rim and with his size at the point guard position, but he may not necessarily be a quote-unquote throwback point guard where he's just going to pass. He can do a little bit of everything, and I think that diversity in his game has allowed him to get on the court early.
You know what's the crazy thing? I heard the same thing about him. And, you know, coming into the NBA, he's a scorer. I think I had a draft expert on compared him to Jamal Crawford, maybe. And what's impressing me is his point guard skills. I know Atkinson talked about him playing more point guard as far back as, like, training camp media today. And I'm like, really? Okay, let's see it. And he's got point guard skills. He's seeing a lot of these weak side passes, skip passes, looking for the three-point shooters. I like what he's done on that end.
Yeah, I think with Isaiah at point guard, it's a little trial by fire.
Definitely.
You know, you're going to see those cross-court passes going to the stands, and you're going to scratch your head here and there. And I think he's cut down on that tonight. He had a little bit more of an efficient game in terms of his assist-to-turnover ratio, so that was a good sign. The biggest thing with Isaiah is progress every day, making sure that he is really learning when to pick his spots and seeing the floor and letting the game slow down. That's the biggest transition for any young rookie coming into the NBA, and we're seeing it with Chris Dunn across the way in Minnesota tonight. So when you look at Isaiah, I think that his potential is interesting because he can fill it up. I don't think you can pigeonhole him necessarily as a point guard. Regarding the Jamal Crawford comparison that was thrown out by that scout that you spoke to, that kind of surprises me just because I don't think he's as pure of a shooter yet.
Yeah.
But he surprisingly, to my experience, can shoot beyond the arc with confidence. And I didn't know necessarily if he would try to do that immediately. I thought he would try to get to the hole a little bit more, but he's shown confidence in his three-point ability too. Sean Marks said, you know, coming into the season that he was going to get minutes. There was no question about that. I think just now we've seen with Lynn being out and Vasquez being out, he's really had a step up and faster than they expected. But eventually, with the way this team is shaping up, looking long-term, he's got to be the backup point guard for this team. You know, you're not looking at Gravis Vasquez as a long-term
right.
option for this team. He was kind of brought in to kind of help him transition and learn. So I think you've got to be encouraged by what you've seen thus far from Isaiah Whitehead.
Yeah, we actually have a clip of Lopez talking about Whitehead. We'll play that now.
Zaza was great. You know, he just, you know, we're all going to go out there and make mistakes. None of us are perfect, but he played with great aggression, you know, and just stayed intense. You know, he kept going, and he did a good job running the team and making key plays for us. I thought that was a great move in the second half when he took that charge. I thought it was questionable, but I thought, you know, that was a big play, you know. And we need things like that from him continuously.
So one last question before I let you go. It seemed like Atkinson in the presser was like, he wasn't brimming with excitement about where this Nets team is. Like if I were a Nets fan right now, I'd be playing the parade down flappers. Like, this team's off to a great... I mean, seriously, this is like... You know, the expectations weren't great to start with, and Nets are playing competitively, and they're playing well. And it's weird that Atkinson, he sort of expects a lot more, which is maybe, you know, has me thinking, can the Nets even get better from here? Because, they won this game without Jeremy Lin, and that's their second-best player, probably.
See, I'm going to take it from the opposite perspective. I love that Kenny's not jumping for joy. I think he has a higher expectation for this team, and with that in mind, he's not settling, and I don't think this team is settling. I think they expect – I mean, we've talked with them in the locker room before and after games, and, you know, they expect to win games. They're not looking at projections.
Randy Foy kept saying how guys are overlooking us, we're going to be much better than people think.
Yeah, and I think Kenny Atkinson – well, first of all, Kenny's a prideful man, first of all, and he has confidence in his own ability. He's waited his whole life for this opportunity, and I think that he's grabbing the bull by the horn, and he's running with this opportunity. And if you're Kenny Atkinson, you know, the way you build a program, and same thing with Sean Marks, when you're rebuilding, it's about the culture. It's about every single play, getting the most out of your team and not wasting opportunities. And I think that what we've seen so far from this team, they could be better. They could have won the other games, as you mentioned. They've been close. Yeah. So I think Kenny's looking at it from that perspective and saying, hey, we really could shock the world.
Now that I think of it, they could only have two losses on the season if that Charlotte game swings more their way. Maybe if Lynn plays.
The Milwaukee tip.
And the Bucks, yeah.
With John
the Bucks game. Yeah, exactly.
That could be two more wins for them, certainly.
It's unbelievable. Mike, thank you very much for coming on, man. Where can people find you?
Oh, people can find me on basketballinsiders.com. And on Twitter, you can find me at Mike A. Scotto. Mike A is an apple. Scotto, S-C-O-T-T-O, like the lotto.
I shouldn't have to say to go follow him. I'm pretty sure, like, all my followers already follow you. It'd be insane if they didn't.
I appreciate that. But the more the merrier, certainly. And the same for you. This is the real man right here, the real vertical. David Verts.
The real vertical, yeah. Thanks again, man.
And that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. Subscribe on iTunes if you want to keep track of future episodes. And keep watching this team, man. It's exciting right now. Have a good one. Let me see them hands high. Fake the funk. Keep it real.
Don't fake the funk. If you're cruising in the ride. Napa know how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.